is The Bullpen, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Joe Dell and BMAC here with you till 2 o'clock on The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Talking about this college football realignment stuff that's been going on. So Florida State, Dell, came out and basically, like, we're not part of the ACC. We don't want to be here. Now, they're locked up on a grant of rights TV contract through 2036, I think, is what it is.
Yeah.
So it's a long time. But they've made it very clear that they want out. There's been reports that some of these conferences are trying to figure out, like, if they could help them raise $120 million to break that television contract. If one goes, it kind of feels like what happened to the ACC is going to happen to everyone else, and that, you know, Clemson, Miami, Florida State would be the big targets, of at least from a football perspective. If Miami, Notre Dame, and I'll include them, because I think once the ACC breaks up a little bit, Notre Dame will join a conference. I think Notre Dame's for sure going to the Big Ten. Do you think Clemson is an SEC school? Or a Big Ten school? Or I guess Big 12. Like, you could include them in the conversation.
I think they're the prize, although they're not a big media market, but, you know, the stature of their football program would probably – the SEC, I think, would go grab them.
Yeah.
I think just because it feels like a natural fit because of how good they've been and Southern and all those things that play a part in the process. I'm not sure South Carolina would welcome it, but A&M didn't want Texas in. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
The SEC says it's all of us above one.
Apparently USC was, like, adamant against Oregon joining the Big Ten, and they said, screw off.
Yeah, they didn't have any leverage. I mean, because they don't even get a full share until years later. So the conferences have told them, please, particularly the Big Ten and the SEC, we're bigger than you.
Yeah.
We'd love to have you, but you're not going to tell us what to do. Texas is going to probably suffer some of that stuff, too, if they decide they want to make a stink about anything. I think Clemson would be the choice of the SEC. I think Miami, at being a private school, probably sees themselves more aligned with the Big Ten just because of how they treat academics. Now, they're good SEC schools as far as academics are concerned, but I think Miami as many northern kids go down there to go to school, private school, I think they would see themselves as a Big Ten school. And they've had a history with the Big Ten playing them in football when they're in the Big East and also when they're an independent. So there's some connection there. Florida State?
I think Florida State's Big 12 because I'm with you on Miami. I think Miami goes to the Big Ten. Florida State, I don't think Florida's going to want them. I think Florida actually might get their way. I could see Florida State in the new Big 12.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if they all went separate places.
Yeah.
Because of how big these conferences are. I'm not sure getting all three into one spot makes sense, and I think all three probably see themselves differently. I think Florida State people want the SEC because of the stature.
They think they're an SEC school already.
And as far as connections, they don't have many to the Big 12. And the trips are going to be longer, all the things that fans and administrators might care about. But I don't know if all three go to one spot. And the other one is not being considered very much, but could have their own sway if UNC decided we want it out.
See, that's
their basketball and even football's okay, but their sway and their brand could have them going. They would have the Charlotte area. They could go probably a number of places if they wanted to. I'm not sure they want to be the team that completely decimates the ACC, because I think ACC people would say, you know what? Yeah, Clemson's been in the conference for a while, but they're not like us.
Yeah.
So I think the ACC, hey, if we could be just Tobacco Road again and just be a basketball conference, I think enough people would be okay with it. I just don't know how they survive, because the money is about football, and there wouldn't be a lot of appeal for football in that conference.
I wonder if the Big 12 just triples down on being a basketball conference, and they aggressively pursue Duke and North Carolina. If the ACC starts to disband, I mean, you're just going to eat yourselves basically for an entire season. But, like, waking up one day with Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, Houston, I think they belong in that conversation now. Baylor, Arizona, all in, like, one college basketball conference.
Then we're not even really talking about a conference. We're almost talking about divisions.
Yeah, because, like, and that, but I think that's where we're headed. Like, that's what's crazy is I think we're going to, like, wake up one day, Dell, and it's – college football is, like, almost going to look the way it used to, just with divisions instead of conferences. Like, the Big Ten is going to have its own version of the Pac-12 with 4 to 6 teams. Because I still think Cal and Stanford very likely could join the Big Ten in a year or
they
two.
They would fit academically.
And then it's like, well, then you're just going to have a 6-team West Coast conference. So instead of it being the Pac-10 or Pac-12, it's basically the Pac-6. They're just a West Coast Big Ten.
Yeah. I don't know what they would call it. We were talking about branding earlier. But I could see it. And then those six would play each other. And then you would get – then you would split up who goes where. Maybe we would never see Rutgers playing Maryland. But, hey, maybe 1 year Penn State goes and plays Stanford and Ohio State's playing Oregon. Whatever. Just to maximize visibility for your conference. But you still have – you still have the ability for those six teams to play each other on a consistent basis. And that's probably the best bet going forward. If you have any feeling of nostalgia about what is going by the wayside, making these conferences really not even conferences anymore and making them just divisions almost and going, you know what, the Big Ten's kind of the northwest of college football now, and then you have the Big 12 as the southwest,
yeah,
and the SEC, and then obviously you're going to have some – we're going to have some differences when you have UCF in it, but you get the point. And then the SEC is the Southeast college football, and then you still have teams you remember playing each other, and then there's also games where they play teams you're not familiar with them playing.
Yeah, well, I think the most interesting thing at this point is that the college football playoff is expanding into 12 teams for the 2024-2025 season. The rules are in place that there's 6 auto bids. The highest rated conference champions, the 6 highest rated conference champions, automatically make the college football playoff. Peter Burns tweeted yesterday that, from my understanding, the top 6 auto bids for highest ranked conference teams will still be intact despite the conference realignment. That's baffling to me because you have the Big Ten, the ACC, the SEC, the Big 12. That's your 4 conferences. Right there. The Pac-12 is going to be dead. Like, what's... like, we're talking about the new American with, like, Tulane and SMU and whoever's even in that conference now. Like, I don't know how they don't change that pretty quickly for next season and they take only the top 4. They have to. If they don't, there's going to be a team that's...
Don't these major conferences that are now expanding demand more bids at some point?
I just think you have to... I can see
the Big Ten and SEC demanding that they get 2 automatic bids.
Well, they always went to, like, the Power 6. It was always like, we have the Power 5 teams, plus there's a UCF, a Boise State.
Like, whoever the highest
but
was,
now,
yeah.
There's 4 now. Like, you take the top 4 highest conference-ranked champions, it doesn't matter what conference they come from. Whoever the top 4 conference champions are, those teams make the playoffs, and I think the next eight just have to be the next 8 teams.
I saw someone put it pretty well, that these things happen slowly and then fast. We went from talking about it quite a bit as far as realignment, and then in a matter of a week, the Pac-12 is no more. And the Big 12 made their moves. Because at one point last week, Oregon and Washington weren't going to move because the Big 10 was like, yeah, we're not really sure.
Yeah.
And we're not, if you guys came over, you wouldn't be full members in terms of the share you're going to get.
Yeah, they're not. They're not getting a full TV share.
Yeah, just
share.
Like USC and UCLA aren't either. And so it was some question about whether it's happening. I think the Pac-12 people thought Friday morning they had a deal in place to vote and keep the 9 after Colorado left. And then Oregon and Washington were to the Big Ten. And then the Big 12 said, okay, this is our chance to swoop. So they grabbed the 4 corner schools along with Colorado. So the Pac-12 thought they had 9, and now they have 4, and eventually – they'll either those four teams will find a spot, or there'll be some type of merger or thing where they work with the Mountain West to get a full schedule of games on. Because San Diego State went into the Pac-12, that didn't come through. Because if believe it or not, the exit fee for Mountain West schools is $34 million.
I wonder. Do you think we can see
if they want to go in 2024?
Could we see the Pac-12, the remaining 4? You think they would do like a 4-team division for the ACC? I mean, I don't really know how that's appealing to the ACC.
I don't know.
To be like, I don't.
That's having like, Cal and Oregon, and I mean, Cal and Oregon State in the conference, Stanford, and I don't know how appealing that would
be. There's not anything about
Washington
four
State,
teams that are left.
I think if those two teams, those four want to remain in a conference, it'll be them in the Mountain West figuring something out.
Yeah, like they're
seems
not
like the only logical move for them to make.
Yeah, I think there's a reason why those teams were left behind.
Yeah,
like the only thing that like
Cal, particularly Stanford, the Olympic sports. Where if those mattered, and speaking of that, we had a women's softball players tweeting out why they joined the Pac-12, so their parents didn't have to travel, and this is why they joined. That's an appealing thing because they didn't have to travel to all these spots for games. Now that has changed, so that is the byproduct of this. We're not going to care that much because it's not our primary focus, but there is a byproduct beyond us losing rivalries. It's all the sports that are on TV because of all the conference networks. But they don't get prime spots on ESPN or CBS Sports or whatever. What happens when you're the parent of someone who plays for Arizona State softball, and you have to and your daughter is in Morgantown for a game? Are you going to go to the Morgantown softball game?
No.
Yeah. So these are the things that come with conference realignment.
All right. Here's Dell. I'm Joe. We got BMAC behind the glass. The NFL Hall of Fame is officially. The introductions are happening today. The speeches. When's the last time you watched? When is the last time you cared about the NFL Hall of Fame? Because I think for some people, it just depends on which team you really root for and how many of those guys are in the Hall of Fame. And who are the top 20 players not in? That's all next here on The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Insert random audio clip. Now,
Mr. Campbell, send out the amendment is acceptable to the author. Is there objection to the option amendment? And the chair has done the amendment. Amendment is adopted.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, you're back inside the bullpen with the producers from ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Wait, who let those guys up here? Security? That's them right there. Right there.
Joe and Dell here on the bullpen until 2 o'clock. BMAC behind the glass. We got a tweet here from Lamont. What's happening to the Pac-12 is what I thought would happen to the Big 12 after UT and Oklahoma left. Got to give the Big 12 its props for rebounding a bit. I totally agree. Like, what they've done since losing those schools is incredible. What has happened to the Pac-12 is hilarious because the old commissioner of the Big 12, he called Larry Scott, who was the Pac-12 commissioner at the time, and inquired about a merger and said, hey, let's merge the Big 12 post UT and Oklahoma with the current Pac-12 and create our own super conference. And Larry Scott said no. And then when USC,
I think he said more than no. They basically laughed it off. They thought they were bulletproof. Let's be honest. They thought they were bulletproof.
Yeah. And then when USC and UCLA left the Pac-12, they called the Big 12 back. The Big 12 reportedly literally just said, not interested, and hung up the phone. And like now the Pac-12 is dead, and the Big 12 is the third best conference?
Fourth? I don't think there's an argument there, really.
I don't know.
Strictly
football. I mean, all the ACC really has is Clemson.
Yeah.
Like Florida State, Miami, like
they're the teams that could change the fortunes of that conference if they still remain, but until that day, if it ever happens,
yeah,
they're going to be four. If they, and who knows how long the ACC will survive. Yeah, I think you could probably say the Big 12 is third. Big 10 has USC, they have Oregon, they have Washington, all three who had really good years last year and have had recent success. USC, obviously, most recently this past year because they've been kind of bad before Lincoln Riley got there. I think it's a Big 10. The Big 10 is probably going to tell you, with Michigan at the level they're at, with Ohio State, with USC and Oregon and Washington, I know you guys have your football erections for the SEC. I was going to say the B word, but I pulled back on that. We can compete with them too. Think about it. USC, Washington, Oregon. Washington has been good, and they were good last year. Oregon has been at a level where they're a top 15 program. Penn State, Michigan, and Ohio State in the SEC will say, we'll try to bank on Texas.
But yeah.
Texas hasn't been good recently. Oklahoma, and then, Georgia, great Alabama, great Florida is off and on. So I think the Big Ten will try to tell you, when Michigan, Ohio State are good, and then we at USC, who's got a better top three than us?
I would say no one. Because, I've got an Oklahoma theory for you. Oklahoma's going to be the new Mizzou.
You think, well,
they just completely fall off the map?
Well, Mizzou had two good years in the first two, and then they fell apart.
But, like, I think when you look at, like, what happened to Nebraska and Mizzou when they joined the Big Ten and the SEC, respectively, that specifically, part of this is a Brett Venables thing. I think that's a disaster hire.
You don't like it.
I think it's a bad hire.
But that part I do agree with. He's a horrible hire. And OU fans would have told you that before he was hired.
And now, and like now that Lincoln Riley's gone and Bob Stoops, like, and then like it's like, who, what's next for Oklahoma that gets them like back to a pedestal? I just think they're gonna, I think they're gonna fall apart in the SEC and be towards the bottom.
Well, there is nothing that guarantees you to be at the top of college football. It's about your coach.
Yeah.
Sure, you want infrastructure and you want support, but your coach is the most important part of. Like, a quarterback's the most important part in the NFL. You can, unless your coach is an absolute disaster, you can be pretty good as long as you have a really good quarterback. It's a coach in college football, and if Venables isn't a fit, isn't the right choice, they're going to fall off. Oklahoma, before Bob Stoops got there, was in the wilderness because they kept hiring the wrong guy. So they could go back there. I know it's been 20-plus years of being relevant, but it could happen really quickly.
Yeah, I think that's where they're headed.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when Texas came off of Mack Brown, everyone thought they would just keep resuming what they did. Or not off of Mack Brown, off of the Colt McCoy years. But, I mean, how long has it been now? It went from, I think it was 9 straight years of 11 wins or more to this last decade that we've been dealing with. So it can happen quickly, especially now with Oklahoma moving to the SEC. If they maybe lose some of their ability to recruit the Texas athletes, because that's where their best kids come from.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the state of Texas. I'm reacting
to the TV.
We got more technical difficulties out there in New York. But if maybe now that the SEC, you know, has a more of a foothold in Texas recruiting, if they take some of those kids that Oklahoma would have gotten, you add that to the Venables disaster, then, you really could see Oklahoma backslide pretty quickly.
I know your answer to this, so you don't have to answer.
Okay.
Do you think Texas is going to, like, easily pass A&M in the SEC?
Yes.
No.
Like I said, I know your answer, B-Mac. You went to UT!
I don't think – the Texas and Texas and A&M have been parallels the last – half decade or more. I know they'll be able to recruit. The money is certainly there, but the money's there at A&M. If you think Sarkisian, who's never had a full season where he's lost less than 4 games, is going to just roll past Jimbo, who I don't think is great, but at least you hired Bobby Petrino, so we'll see if the offense takes a step.
I can't wait for the Bobby Petrino, Jimbo Fisher blow up.
But what about Steve Sarkisian suggests he's going to turn Texas around?
Nothing.
There's nothing in his history that says so.
But I think they're so even, while Texas was in the lesser conference, that now that they're in the SEC, just feels like they're going to elevate quickly past A&M.
Why?
I don't know. Gut feeling.
That Texas exceptionalism? That's the only thing I could think that would explain this to me.
I don't know.
The only thing I kind of hold on to is, and this is going to sound like a leap, I'm sure, to non-Texas fans, but the Arch Manning signing seemed to kind of symbolize that maybe they're going to be able to get a higher quality of recruit. And not that they've suffered from bad recruiting classes in the past, but this feels like a different level that they
– Or
– Manning's had gone to Alabama, had gone to Georgia. They weren't going to Texas for a long time.
Or Arch Manning is another long lines of guys whose hype exceeds who he actually is as a player.
You call him Chris Sims?
I'm saying I see a pop gun arm, and I'm not sure how that's going to translate to major college football.
I think there's a reason why the Manning family is okay with Arch Manning sitting for a year, because they know he's not ready. Who's this scumbag that's on the internet right now, Baby Gronk, his dad, just ruining that little child's life? Like, the Manning family would have every right to demand that Arch start from day one. And the fact that he went to a school where he's for sure not going to start this year, and unless they win some games and Quinn Ewers goes, I know right now he's the betting favorite to be the third quarterback taken in next year's draft. Like, Arch Manning might sit for 2 years. They seem okay with that.
Look, level competition in high school. We saw him batting away what looked like eighth graders, and then
it's embarrassing what he was playing against.
I'm not sure that I understand the name. I understand there's a skill set there. I think Arch Manning is a guy who's a good player who has benefited greatly as far as hype is concerned with his name. He didn't go to camps, which is something he never had to do because the Mannings, I guess, either don't believe in it. I won't say they didn't want to have him exposed. I'm not going to say that. But they just didn't believe in him going to camps. So he didn't play against – he didn't even get measured against the best quarterbacks in his class.
Yeah.
He was the guy in that little I guess, Christian school, and he played well enough to, and obviously Texas loves him, and a lot of teams love him. It wasn't just Texas, but I'm with you. What I saw at that camp and what I saw in the Texas spring game, I'm like, maybe you sit for a year and a half, get stronger, maybe that arm gets stronger, yeah. And then we have a different conversation.
You think Quinn's going to be good? Like, I think UT's, I mean, they're the betting favorite to win the Big 12 this year. I think that makes sense. I mean, I know that you lost Bijan, like you have what Xavier Worthy still there. Quinn Ewers, he was a higher rated prospect than Arch Manning. Like, as much as people pump up Arch Manning, like, I know it's like to the decimal point, but Quinn Ewers was ranked higher as a five-star quarterback than Arch was. He should be probably the third quarterback taken based on his trajectory. I feel like they're going to win the Big 12 this year, but I'm not totally convinced. It's a Sark thing.
I'm not backing Texas with Sark until proven otherwise.
I just don't know who else I would pick. I'm not going back to TCU. I know what Jeremy Brannon would pick.
And look, even as a Texas fan, it's almost it feels like Texas by default.
I know, but like, it does.
Yeah, I know. I'm agreeing with you.
But it shouldn't. But we all know it shouldn't be. But I just don't know who else. Like,
I don't think they're the caliber team that you would say, oh, they're locked to win their conference. But the rest of the Big 12 this year, just I don't think is
it's
on
a
level.
It's just a big unknown. Like, I think that's when you look at college football this year. Like, it is the most unknown conference we have.
Because you don't have
from Michigan. There's no Georgia.
Yeah, and you don't in the Big 12. There is not a star. I mean, Quinn Ewers' name says he's a star quarterback, but there is no returning star quarterback that you point to and go. I mean, unless you really love Jalen Daniels, but then you have to talk about what Kansas is as a whole. And they had a nice start to the year that kind of fell apart late. I don't believe they have the talent to compete through a 13-game schedule, which would include a Big 12 title game. So it's probably Texas by default, but I can see them losing to teams they shouldn't lose to because they do that every year.
And here's the thing, Dell. Are you ever going to, you know, when you and John and Lance and we are talking about your college football playoff picks this year, you're going to go, I'm picking Kansas?
No.
Because it's Kansas. Like, I'm not picking Kansas to win anything that's not a basketball game. I don't care how good they are.
We got to go to break, but these are the top three quarterbacks according to College Football Network. It's pick a site. They'll all have their different returning quarterbacks. You have Dillon Gabriel at Oklahoma. But you guys have already spoken about what you believe is a disaster as far as a head coach and Brent Venables. Quinn Ewers, and then Jalen Daniels is your top three, and then Will Howard at K-State. Well, K-State did lose Deuce Vaughn, but K-State is the returning Big 12 champion.
That's true.
I mean, just look at the Longhorn schedule. I mean, outside of Alabama, I do it during the break. We obviously got to go to break. But if you look at the Longhorn schedule, it's not that I think they're a great team, but you look at that, it's like there's a bunch of mediocre plus Alabama on that roster.
Yeah. All right. Andre Johnson, we know a lot of people thought he would be getting his name called today and giving his induction speech into the Hall of Fame. It has not happened yet. CBS Sports put out a list of the 20 best players that are not in the Hall of Fame. Where does Andre Johnson fall on that list? That's next here on the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. All systems go.
Houston is all systems go.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Joe and Dell here with you for another 30 minutes on the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You can find us on Twitter at Joe George Radio, at Dell V2, at Sacked by BMAC for Brian behind the glass. So today's the Hall of Fame induction speeches. If you want to see pictures of Farmer Ed and all these random Jets fans, go to at Jake Asman on Twitter.
Farmer Ed? I think it's Fireman.
Fireman Ed?
Yes.
Wait, how'd you get to Farmer
Ed? It's funnier. It's Farmer Ed.
Why would a farmer be a diehard Jets?
I said Farmer instead of Fireman.
Okay, did you misspeak or did you think it was Farmer?
I just misspoke.
Okay.
My brain is mush.
Either way,
Farmer Ed's funnier.
If he was dressed in overalls, it'd be better looking. Stupid helmet he wears all the time.
Do you care about the Hall of Fame induction speeches? I don't, because I can't tell you the last time someone went into the Hall of Fame. I guess Urlacher for me, that
you
like
only
I really
care
cared
if
about.
If it's a Bears player involved,
I'll watch Andres when he gets it eventually.
Like, the last time I think I watched, and this is a while back, was when Madden went in. Because I wanted to see John Madden's Hall of Fame speech.
Yeah,
it
really.
But, I don't really watch much now.
There's certain players.
Yeah, I brought up the question on the rundown because Zach Thomas went in. He's a guy I grew up watching. I didn't really care that I didn't care that Jason Taylor made. I mean, I care, but I didn't care to watch. Yeah. Like, we're doing the show now, and it's different. They used to do all these things in the evening. Now they're doing
it. I was actually stunned. I assumed it was tonight, and when we put it on TV out in the bullpen area, I was shocked.
So because of the weight, because of what Zach Thomas was as a player, and he was part of some really good defenses, I'll go back and look at some clips. But as far as tuning in to the live broadcast, I think the way we consume things makes it not something I'm going to do. Like, I'm not going to sit through the Darrell Revis one, although I think Zach Thomas went first. I wouldn't sit through the Darrell Revis one to watch the Zach Thomas one. I'll just wait for it to be condensed into the Zach Thomas one. Yeah. I'll watch it on YouTube or through clips on Twitter.
Yeah.
So that's the way I'll consume it. But I do not – it has to be a very specific thing for a very specific reason for me to care. And the Zach Thomas one strikes all those things, so that's why I'm going to – Go back and watch it.
I mean, Dell makes a good point. Like, growing up, I used to watch it, the whole thing, but that was before you could find all the clips on Twitter within 30 minutes of it happening. So it certainly has changed the way I watched it. But, like, when Andre goes in, because I do assume he's going to get in eventually, and when J.J. Watt goes in, I will make appointment television for that. But otherwise, it's, like, if there's a big personality, like when Ray Lewis goes in, you know, I'll watch that. Like, specifically his speech, maybe, you know, obviously John Madden I mentioned earlier. But other than that, it's like Texans, it might be a big personality. That's what I'm interested in.
Well, and I think it's interesting for Texans fans, too, because it's like you have Andre and you're
JJ. You haven't had one, yeah.
Yeah, you have none. You know you're going to get Andre eventually. And you're obviously in 5 years, you'll get JJ right away. He'll be first ballot Hall of Fame, no questions asked. Should be unanimous. I'm sure John McClain. Huh?
It won't be unanimous. There's always one guy.
I know. Someone will say he got hurt too much. And, I guess it wouldn't stun me if he doesn't get in the first time. To me, the Hall of Fame also.
That would stun me. So he'll get in first.
It lost me when they didn't put T.O. in right away.
Yeah. Well, and that's people with agendas making decisions, too. We're going to punish you. And the baseball's done it, too. I'm trying to think who would go in with J.J.
Brady.
Would there be enough to keep him out? Like you said, he wouldn't go in if he doesn't go in first ballot. Who would there be enough people going in to keep him out?
It just, I guess, it depends on what happens, who's left right now. So the top 20 players from CBS, Andre Johnson's number one of players that are not in the Hall of Fame
that are eligible to go in.
He will probably get in within the next 5 years, and obviously there's going to be new names on the list every year. Number two is
Torrey Holt,
which I think he should be a Hall of Famer.
He should have already been in by now.
Exactly. I feel like he's like weirdly getting punished, and so is Reggie Wayne, who's number four on this list.
For playing with other guys?
Because it's like, if you look at the Hall of Fame, you know, you've got, with the greatest show on turf, you've got Isaac Bruce, Marshall Faulk, Kurt Warner all in, Torrey Holt's the last man standing. With those Colts teams, Marvin Harrison, Peyton Manning, Edgerrin James are all in. Reggie Wayne, last man standing. So I feel like both those guys are being punished because three of their teammates are in the Hall of Fame.
I don't think it helps that there is already a big-time wide receiver from the team already in.
Okay, Reggie Wayne, Marvin Harrison, always better than Reggie Wayne, pretty much, right? Do you feel that way about Torrey Holt? Because I think Torrey Holt was better than Isaac Bruce.
Holt was definitely the better receiver.
Isaac Bruce was their number one. He had been the number one before. Torrey Holt got there. He just had the status as number one. He does have the giant Super Bowl moment where he caught the game-winning touchdown. Torrey Holt was certainly a big figure, but if we're talking about who's going to go down in Rams history as the guy, it'll be Ike Bruce.
Yeah.
I think they look at him as he was the one who suffered before.
They were pretty bad.
Before they got good, and he was good when they were bad. And obviously, when Marshall Faulk joined and Torrey Holt got there and Kurt Warner and Mike Martz as the OC, things turned for them. But I think Isaac Bruce is seen as the number one for that era of Rams football, just like Marvin Harrison is. And I think both wide receivers in Wayne and Holt's case are suffering from not only being – it's usually a triplet. It's usually when that was still a thing, running back, receiver, quarterback. There was rarely, also there's another wide receiver that we need to put in. The Steelers had some of that too. Swan and Stallworth, different era, all that stuff. So I think they'll both get in, but since they weren't the number one guy, they've had to wait.
Yeah, and so who can stop JJ from getting in? I, I think you'd have to see a couple of these guys who we just mentioned. Number five on their list was Dwight Freeney. You know, he'll get in at some point. I just don't think there's anything that stops J.J. Watt from getting in right away.
I mean, obviously, I think he and Brady are both first ballot.
Is there a chance Andre's still on the board?
In 5 years? Same year with Watt? I don't think so. I think he'll be in before that.
Like, next year's class of first-time eligible players that will get in, probably no questions asked, will be Julius Peppers and then Antonio Gates.
Yeah, they're in first ballot.
No question. There is this weird topic that came up. I really feel like Mike Florio was like the only one pushing this, but I heard other people then run with it, and is there going to be an Andrew Luck conversation?
How can there be?
Because he was so good as a player. I know Terrell Davis to me changes the whole conversation about Terrell Davis. Like, he was a really good player. He's kind of a stat builder, but had two great years at the end.
And he's got two titles.
Yeah, I mean, Andrew Luck was a good player. He was never even great when he was at his best.
I mean, he was a top five quarterback in the NFL, probably.
They make, obviously, the argument about,
Sayers
back in the day was a short window. Yeah. But in that short window, he was better than Andrew Luck was in his window.
Yeah, I'm a no on Luck. But it seems like some people are going to try to have this conversation that Luck, because he was good enough when he played, should be in. And I totally disagree.
Andrew Luck, when he played, he was, even his final year, great year. But I think it changes as a quarterback when you only play for as little as he played and you don't have a title to show for it.
He didn't even get to a Super Bowl.
Did he make one AFC title game? I think
he did.
He might have done that.
Year they hung the banner for a runner-up.
Yeah, AFC finalist, I believe is what they did. If he had a title on his resume, I think we're having a different conversation.
Yeah.
But because not only did he not win a title, didn't even make a Super Bowl, while Terrell Davis was great, and yes, he was with Rod Smith and Shannon Sharp and John Elway, he was kind of the engine because it was an older John Elway of a team who won a couple titles.
Yeah, I just don't see any way Andrew Luck gets in. And then Andre will get in within the next – he'll probably get in right before JJ. I'm surprised it's taken this long, but now I'm kind of at the point where I feel like we're destined to have these conversations for a little bit more time.
Unique to wide receivers, though.
Yeah, I mean, look at those three guys.
The stats are so inflated over the last 20 years for wide receivers. It just, when you're comparing them to, the stats that would normally get somebody into the Hall of Fame, there are more wide receivers than ever that are hitting those numbers. So it just changes the equation.
I don't know how they are going to evaluate these guys in like 20 years. Like, Derrick Henry is not going to have the stats, I would say, to get into the Hall of Fame. You know, like the big numbers. But he, to me, has to be a Hall of Famer.
I would agree with that.
Because he is by far the best running back of this era.
You just have to evaluate him against that position group at that time. I think that's the only way you can do it.
Yeah.
On your rankings, where do they have Reggie Wayne compared to Andre Johnson as far as?
So, Reggie Wayne was fourth.
And Andre Johnson was where?
One of best players. So, number one was Andre. Two was Holt. Three was Ken Anderson. Four was Reggie Wayne. Five was Dwight Freeney.
Do you think Andre gets in before Reggie Wayne does?
He should. He's a way better player. I know his touchdown numbers aren't there, but that's all. I think that and wins is all you can hold against him, which I just think is such a dumb thing to hold against a wide receiver.
And Reggie Wayne, the fight would be, hey, I had Peyton Manning, but I also had Edgerrin James and Marvin Harrison to compete with. Although he played after Marvin Harrison, but if you're Reggie Wayne, you go, hey, I had a Hall of Fame receiver on the other side, and I still put up these numbers. How good am I?
And like, how often was Reggie Wayne the number one wide receiver in Indianapolis?
Well, it would have to be
because T.Y. Hilton came onto the scene pretty quickly.
We'd have to,
about a 2-3 year window?
We'd have to figure out how old he was when Marvin Harrison was no longer Colt.
And then T.Y. stepped in pretty quick to kind of take over as like the number one guy.
So he was certainly Luck's number one guy, T.Y. Hilton. So he didn't have, if he had any time, it wasn't very much. And if he did, it was in the back end of his career. I just look at his numbers. He was like at 34 years old, he was still over 1,300 yards. And then there was this drop off down 13 when he hit 35. I guess he was injured. He only played seven games his final year, still on 14. So he was a really good player even into his age 34 year. And then he kind of just hit a cliff and fell off of it. So I would agree, Andre Johnson, certainly the more physical presence, a better player. Reggie Wayne will just tell you, hey, man, I had to find my way when I had these two great weapons in James and Harrison with me, and I was still really good. So it'd be great for them being both Miami guys. They found a way in the same year. Just what that would mean, because I think because they were on the same Miami team, but Reggie was a couple years ahead of him.
Yeah.
So if they found a way to make it in the same year, it'd be great. But it's probably going to be Andre first. But I think there are a lot of people would say Reggie should be right behind him, if not before him.
All right, friendship test. Okay. Devin Hester, Hall of Famer?
I'm a Miami guy, so I'm saying yeah.
I knew your answer. B-Mac? Best to ever do it.
Can you?
Yeah, he's the best ever kick. He's the best ever returner. If you're the best at whatever you did, then I believe you deserve to get in.
Does that mean Matthew Slater's a Hall of Famer?
Best gunner of all time?
I mean, look, that guy's got more All-Pros than anyone.
Is Steve Tasker in the Hall of Fame?
He was number 20.
No, he's on this list, though.
He was number 20 on the list.
If Steve Steve Tasker's like, what the hell? What about if Matthew Slater makes it, Steve Tasker's got to be like, wait a minute. We're doing this for this guy? And Steve Tasker actually caught passes. Not a lot, but he did.
We mentioned Derrick Henry, but before the show, BMAC sent me another list, too, of ranking the active NFL quarterbacks by Hall of Fame chances. We'll hit on that next year. Final segment of the bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.com. If you want in, you have to audition.
Hi, I'm Carrie Dubek, and I'm reading for the role of Man at Party Who Smells Fart.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Final segment of the bullpen here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 for today. Just Dell and I and BMAC behind the glass running the show.
You think it's on accident that Frank Gore has, we're talking about Frank Gore, maybe he makes it in the Hall of Fame, that he has exactly 16,000 yards? Exactly.
Oh, he fell on purpose?
I don't know. And when he got there,
like someone who refuses to like score
just
on
yank him.
Yeah, like a guy with a cycle and he pulls up for the single even though he hits one in the gap.
That round number, Frank's getting in. 16,000 yards. Even though, he still rushed for over 600 yards at 37 years old. So we're talking about how he was stat padding maybe, but he was still.
He's putting up solid numbers.
Solid numbers, even at 37.
Like, he's not like some of these guys who fall off the cliff and, like, they're literally. Like, Emmett Smith, when he was with the Cardinals, was so bad.
Yeah.
He was so bad.
So, 16,000 yards, third all-time rushing. Frank's getting in.
That's where it's like stats versus the player, they do matter. Because the player, I would say no. Like, I would say Frank Gore is not.
Frank Gore was never like a top three running back to me.
Yeah.
In any individual year.
It's going to be a baseball type Hall of Fame.
Yeah, like reaching 500
numbers,
home runs.
Longevity, staying on the field, all those things. Like, remember Frank Gore's career in college, two major ACL injuries.
Yep.
Never had a major injury in the NFL. Was able to avoid that. And even as a 37-year-old, played 15 games.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So CBS Sports, they also, Cody Benjamin wrote this article, ranking the nine active quarterbacks in the NFL and their Hall of Fame chances. So the first category they have is Stone Cold Locks, Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. I'm good with that. Yeah. Mahomes could retire today and he's a Hall of Famer. Two championships, two MVPs, four straight AFC championship appearances. Like, to me, there's no question that Patrick Mahomes is already a Hall of Famer, and same for Aaron Rodgers, as much as I hate him. I guess we're friends now.
Well, he owns you, so. Well, at least he owns your team. But yeah, he's making the Hall.
On the fence, this one's interesting because I think if this article came out 3 years ago, Russell Wilson would have been in the Stone Cold Locks category. But he has fallen apart so bad the last 3 years, like where he's just not looked good. This is a guy who's had zero MVP votes in his career because they used to only vote for one guy, and now they've changed it, but still no MVP votes ever. Russell Wilson on the fence. So what side of the fence are you on?
Currently, as it stands now, he's in the Hall of Very Good, but not Fame.
I think he's going to play himself out of the Hall of Fame.
Which is not usually the case for quarterbacks. They usually either cement their status or go away before they can. But he's young enough where he's going to continue to play. It would be one of the interesting cases where people were in the middle of his career. We're talking about all the let Russ Cook stuff, give him more opportunities because he's a driving force.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about how can Sean Payton save him. And can he be as bad as he was last year? I can't see it. Can he be?
No way.
So,
But how much better is he?
Well, Peyton Manning was bad because he was hurt and then he walked away.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson was bad because he just stunk.
Yes, he's bad.
Can a quarterback revert that way to be awful?
I think biggest thing,
unless it's an injury issue.
No, because like the biggest thing I think that goes against Russell Wilson last year is how good Geno was in Seattle with the same offense, the same weapons. Like Geno Smith was pretty damn good last year, and Russell Wilson was absolutely awful. What side of the fence are you on, B-Man?
I agree with you guys. He's not in as of now, and not just the comparison to Geno, but obviously they put all the blame. If you believe in Russ, you put all the blame on Nathaniel Hackett, but he was the guy calling plays, or at least on the offensive side, for the back-to-back MVP right before he went to Denver. I think he can salvage it with the big year this year, but also think, I mean, we've heard how many ex-teammates come out and basically just trash Russ and,
he's a loser,
and intimate that they basically carried him to the Super Bowl they won and the second one they should have won. So, yeah, I think he's out as of now, but he still has a chance to get in.
I'm going to skip the preliminary, like the guys who it's way too early for besides Mahomes, go to long shots. Because I think this guy's in the same category. He has one Super Bowl championship. He played for the biggest joke of an organization in the NFL, Matt Stafford. His stats are really good. And when he was finally in a functional organization, he won a Super Bowl.
He had, what, zero playoff wins before joining the Rams?
It's Detroit.
I think he needs to play a couple years more healthy just to solidify, because
it stinks because I don't think that's happening.
He almost retired this last offseason.
So the Matt Stafford thing will be an interesting case because no one's going to blame him for what happened in Detroit. Well, they might have, but then he goes to the Rams and wins the Super Bowl. So then you can fundamentally say that was a Detroit problem, not a Matt Stafford problem.
They have two guys who are in the Hall of Fame that ended their careers
early
prematurely
because they wanted out and away from them.
Like they ruined Barry Sanders. He still got in, no problem. They ruined Calvin Johnson. Now, Calvin Johnson and Barry Sanders are two of the best to ever play their positions.
Matt Stafford is not that.
He's not, but he played in Detroit where like they're just such a joke. Like I would put Stafford in ahead of Russ.
I would put you brought up Andrew Luck last segment. I mean, if you were willing to consider the Luck case, I'm not saying you are, but if you were willing to consider his case, I mean, Stafford greater sign Andrew Luck all day long.
I think Stafford for sure should be
a you look at his numbers. He's in the, you throw on top of the championship. I think Stafford. I was saying no because of what happened last year, but he's making it. The numbers are too big to not do that when you throw in the title. And then I think there should be an added thing of surviving Detroit and putting numbers up in Detroit.
Well, there's also going to be a case study that's going to change, I think, the trajectory of the Hall of Fame. If they put Phillip Rivers in, then Stafford.
If Rivers goes in, Stafford should go in.
I don't even think there's an if. I think Phillip Rivers is in, and I think Stafford is in.
Yeah, I think Eli, Stafford, and Rivers will all go in.
Yeah.
And I think maybe only – and I really would – I would say only Stafford of the three.
Phillip Rivers was
good,
man. I know
he didn't win nothing.
The Chargers have that stink around them of always playing. The Chargers feel like they've always played the same game every week.
Yeah, can you make the same Lions argument? Like,
but they were better.
The Chargers held back Phillip Rivers,
and the Chargers made the playoffs with Phillip Rivers. They made an AFC title game with Phillip Rivers. I think Stafford made the playoffs once.
Yeah,
with the Lions, was it twice?
I think three times actually, but they were 0-3.
They never won a game. Phillip Rivers has won games, has made an AFC title game, like on a torn ACL.
What's the kid ratio now?
Yeah, like, I think he's got 10. Number 10's
on the way. He's at 10. I think Stafford's at like 3 or 4. Yeah. So at least Phillip Rivers wins that category.
Honestly, I think that the 0-4 class is getting how many – like Roethlisberger's getting in.
Yeah.
Phillip Rivers is getting in. Yep. I think Eli's getting in.
Yeah.
So I think that
– just not Jay Cutler?
Sorry.
Oh, don't apologize.
So I think that 0-4 class, as much as went around that draft day – where we know the story, Eli didn't want to go to San Diego, and they drafted him anyway. They made the date the same. They made the trade draft day. I think all three of those guys are getting in.
Yeah, their premature possibilities was Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert. So early for all of those guys. Yeah. Like, but my one for sure would be Burrow. I think Burrow would be the one that like I would bank the most.
Justin
money
Herbert
on.
Already has a unbelievable playoff disaster on his resume.
I know.
I would wait. I'm throwing him on that preliminary thing.
All right. He's Dell. I am Joe. You can catch Dell on Monday on the bench. I'll be with the Killer Bees on Monday as well. You guys will be back on Saturday at 12 next week. B-Mac, Sean, and Andrew tomorrow in the bullpen from 10 to 12. Dell and I will talk to you next week. See ya.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.